Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyone here remember the movie City Slickers? I was thinking about that movie this past week with Billy Crystal and Jack Palance. Maybe it's because it's been kind of hot, and I checked the weather this morning in Wyoming and Colorado. It's a lot cooler. There was 59 this morning. Not bad, huh? Well, in that movie, I remember Jack Palance's character. He's the cowboy on the horse, and Billy Crystal, the city slicker, out helping ranch and work with the cows and whatnot. You remember, there's this great scene in it where Jack Palance asks, "Do you know what the secret of life is?" And Billy Crystal says, "No, what?" And he goes, "This." And he says, "Your finger?" He says, "One thing, just one thing. You stick to that, and everything else doesn't mean nothing." Of course, nothing was replaced with a different word. Billy Crystal says, "What's the one thing?" And Jack Palance says, "That's for you to figure out." Now, we could diagnose this as Christians and say it's lacking something, isn't it? I mean, here the emphasis is on you to figure out the secret of life. It's all up to you. You figure it out. Your whole goal in life, go out and figure out the secret of life. That's not what the Bible says, is it? The secret of life is not dependent on you. The secret of life is dependent on God, what He reveals. Christ Jesus, His grace, His mercy, the salvation that comes by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, that not of your own doing. All depends on God and His grace. All depends on Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. All depends on the Spirit who raised the Son back to life again and will come again on the last day and raise our mortal bodies. Christ reconciling the world to Himself by His own sacrifice. But that's not the reason why I wanted to point out this text, this film scene. I really wanted to borrow the concept of lifting up your finger and saying the secret of life is not one thing, but two things. And this borrowing from our text today from Hebrews chapter 11, the two things. One, that you die in faith, the goal. And secondly, that you live in faith, a struggle. It really comes from this text, Hebrews chapter 11, with these words. These all died in the faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They died in the faith, the goal. Who died in the faith? Well, we heard a litany in the text. Did you hear it? Abel, who walked with God and then was no more. He had pleased God by his faith. He believed in the promise of God. Enoch, he walked with God and was no more. Abel made an acceptable sacrifice versus Cain, who was unacceptable sacrifice. Abel offered his in obedience. Cain did not. Noah, who built the ark, believed in the promise that God would flood the earth, and believed God and made the ark and delivered God's people. Abraham and Sarah. He believed in the promise of land and an heir. Sarah likewise, in their old age, that they would have a son. And also Isaac and Jacob, who lived with them, all had to be people of the promise, believing in the promise of God. These all died in the faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11. God interacted with them in this life. He revealed promises for them to believe, to trust, to obey, even though they had not yet the things promised. Abraham and Sarah left their own place. They traveled, as it said in the text, not knowing where they were going. They lived in faith, and then they died in the faith, the goal. Is that our goal too? Are you an heir by faith until death? Are you just an heir of faith for now until the certainty comes? And if the certainty never comes, then no. And the certainty, how does it come? Well, by what we experience in this life or accomplish in this life, and think that by that we might have eternal life, or maybe just a legacy here on earth and a question mark about heaven. That's a popular thought in our world, but it's not adequate, and it's not what pleases the Lord. Dying in the faith, like Abraham and Sarah, means trusting for the long haul, a promise outside of you, whose origin is from God, who made the heaven and the earth, and who gave his Son Jesus, who is the propitiation for the world, the one who reconciles us back to God, Christ the Savior. By his death, he destroys death, and by his rising to life, brings us to eternal life. Some people don't want to trust in that promise because they can't accomplish it within. They have to receive it from outside of you. Some people just want to talk about love and life and death, as epitomized by Shakespeare in Hamlet. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and opposing them, end them. To die, to sleep no more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep, perchance to dream. I, there's the rub. I? Really? Perchance to dream? Lacking in Shakespeare's romance and tragedy is the concept of death in the faith. Hamlet would toy with suicide as maybe better than delayed love from Ophelia, but he acknowledges that death might be worse. Perchance Hamlet had as his god love of Ophelia rather than the love of God, and life in his grace and death in hope, trusting in the promise and the power of God to destroy death for all who believe in Christ and his power over death. Well, some say, how can you deny what Shakespeare says? It's such beautiful language. Well, we say as Christians, beautiful perhaps. But that's the thing about art. It can be beautiful, but lacking in the substance of truth. It can be enjoyed for the fairy tale that it is. Even Christians can enjoy it. But consider also what Scripture says is beautiful and true. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns, Isaiah 52, verse 7. The Lord himself on earth did not cut short his own life out of love for one who toys with him. She loves me not. The Lord died. He laid down his life for you, whether you believe it or not, to make peace with God by his own blood. And rising to life gives you reason to hope in his unconditional, everlasting love that depends solely on him and his promise. That was our number one, to die in faith, the goal. And here's number two, to live in faith, the struggle. We all struggle in the faith. One man in the New Testament said it well, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We struggle for many reasons. Number one, we can't yet see God. And by nature, we believe only half of what we see and nothing of what we hear. Number two, because when we judge ourselves on the continuum of being good or bad, we're always somewhere in between, in the murky middle. Not thinking that we're totally bad, nor thinking that we're extremely good. We're too humble for that. Of course, the good news is that God has abolished this judgment of heaven based on us, making it not dependent on us but on Him, and is to be received by faith in the promise, not the works of the law, doing good or bad. And yet we struggle in this world on how to live, even knowing our condition as sinner and saint at the same time. Can I fix this dual dilemma? Can I be more saintly? And for those of you who have been around the block a time of two, how did the last time go when you tried to fix it? How did it go when you tried to become more saintly? Did it work? For how long? Therefore, many people struggle still. Does God really, really love me since I failed at trying to be a better person? Well, here's the answer given to us in our text in Hebrews 11 today, if you have ears willing to hear it. They acknowledge that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. You only seek something that you know you don't yet have. And you need it, and you want it, and you long for it. In other words, you must struggle in this life with faith, because the world is not the goal. The world that we live in is not the homeland. Your body can't make it the homeland. There's a hymn that we sing in church that describes people of faith in concert with this letter to the Hebrews. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. It does not say, I'm being perfect here, I need no future home. Heaven was last night with beer, earth is my home. It doesn't say that. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, seven people mentioned, by the way, all God's chosen of old, all sinners and all saints at the same time, they struggled. They struggled with sin. They struggled with believing. And yet they all confessed by faith, I'm but a stranger and an exile in this earth. By faith, in a promise from God alone, they believed. Despite their sinful condition, despite their struggle to believe, they confessed, I'm seeking a homeland. And despite my struggle to walk the walk and talk the talk, God's promise endures. And it's for us to believe it. You see, this faith that we have is a gift of God, not a result of works. And through it, dependent on God's gift, not my righteous walk, I, you, we all, have hope and a future. Gracious, glorious, God-given future. You want to walk in this world and live anxious, as it talked about in our gospel, anxious about everything, anxious wondering if there even is an afterlife, anxious, am I going to survive this, how am I going to get through that, anxious about every little thing, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat, anxious, 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 troubled about many things. If you want to live that way, go for it. But for the rest of us, there's really only one thing. Jesus said it in our text. So that you die in the faith and live in the faith. Have no fear, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now live in it. Die in it. And it's yours for eternal life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.